Good morning and welcome to the Preventing Grace podcast. Not podcast. It's like God's gin. It's the...
The Godcast.
The Godcast. The podcast. It's Monday, I don't know, someday in September. And we've survived another weekend. I don't know what the date is, what I'm saying.
I don't know. I think it's like the 19th.
No.
Or was that yesterday? In which case, no.
It's the 18th.
Ah, okay.
So, we've been to Planet Chopper, and now we're cooking lunch already.
This is a culinary episode.
Why don't you...
I'm chopping up pork, because we're going to barbecue it. This might be the last...
In the rain.
Last barbecue of the year. Because we're having company over. I really hate that we live in a place where you have to stop. In Texas, all year round, you get to do...
You can't. In the summer, it's too hot.
Huh?
In the summer, it's too hot.
No. You can barbecue in the summer.
You can't barbecue in the summer. You can't go out in the summer.
You can go out in the summer.
You have to shuttle between your car and the inside.
I lived there for my entire growing up, and I went up there I went outside every day of my life growing up.
That when we go there in the summer, we shuttle between the inside of the car and the inside of the house.
That's just because, and you should be totally used to it. You're from Africa. You're an African person.
Everybody says that, but I've lived here for 20 years now, so I don't think that.
I remember visiting your village, and it was in winter, and it was hot. It was really hot. And everyone is walking around like they're cold. Mm. It was Christmas, remember that?
Yeah, everybody wears hats and puff coats. When it gets down to like 70 degrees, people are dying. And at night it gets into the 50s, which is so unbelievably cold, like unfathomably cold.
I mean, I at that time I was still from I still had my Texas blood in me, so I liked the heat, but I was not cold in 50 degrees, and everybody in the village, like, they were all, like, I remember.
Yeah.
Shivering.
Well, it was objectively cold. So this episode is about the weather.
Yeah, we're talking about weather.
And we don't have anything to talk about today.
We could talk about some things, but they're just not compelling. Like,
it's so boring.
It's so boring. Like, you know, I was attacked this last week by someone online because they dredged up old tweets in which I said, the only reason that I did vote for Trump, even though he's personally, morally has issues, which I do not agree with. I was voting for the pro-life policy part of him, which turned out to be in 2020 because he actually has appointed pro-life judges who have, thanks be to God, overturned Roe v. Wade. But now, like, as of, like, last week, is it? Did it do? Was this last Friday?
No, yesterday. Yesterday? Yeah, somebody did a compilation.
He walked all that back, I guess. Or at least these true colors are coming out. I don't know where it is. But so that's the only thing that's happened that I've even thought about. So I don't want to talk about it because it's political and we don't want to talk politics.
Do we? I feel like all we do is talk church politics, which is totally different.
Yeah.
It's like 100% different.
Right.
All that sort of thing. I've been trying to stay away from the news because I don't want to live through a entire year presidential cycle where every single person who's running is either been deemed to be out of the running, like that person can't even win, and everybody else is crazy and old.
Yeah. So, I mean, everyone I like, I mean, I would vote for... lay my cards on the table. I would vote for DeSantis in a hot minute, but that doesn't look like I'm going to get the opportunity to do that. So I'm feeling disenfranchised this election cycle
again.
Yeah. So, I don't know what to do. I mean, because before the calculus was, look, okay, well, Trump's a reprehensible moral character, but he's going to keep abortion from being like the law of the land. Every woman has to get abortion or whatever, by appointing good judges. But now, who knows what he's going to do? I think he's just who knows. So it's there's no holding your nose and voting for the lesser evil because they're both evil.
I mean, they all seemed evil, right? But they're different gradations of evil in the past.
Apparently, the other thing is apparently Trump can't tell the difference between a male and someone who's pretending to be a male. So that's what?
Yeah. It's like the last 4 years haven't happened.
Right.
Or something. Which is really astonishing.
I'm very frustrated by that because he's supposed to, he's supposed to be the guy who, drains a swamp and all this, but he's not doing any of which.
He never did that.
Well, if you're on the side of the trans guys, you're not draining any swamp. You're part of the swamp. So anyway, like I said, I don't want to talk politics. We could talk, I also got, people got mad at me last week because of the ACNA2 thing.
Wrote about the ACNA2 thing. I was so happy. Again, people don't like it when you say, oh, well, now it's Merry Christmas. But whenever anyone illumines for you what you thought was going to be, like you suspected strongly on account of what kind of things they were saying, and then they went ahead and said the thing that you were pretty sure they were going to say, but they didn't really mean to say it. They didn't know what was going to happen when they said it.
They thought they could just say it.
And it was going to be no problem. So for those who don't know what we're talking about, the Anglican Church in North America, like all other denominations, has had an inside group. I don't know if you should describe it as an inside group, but a group within the denomination who have said that there's such terrible abuse issues inside the ACNA that they needed a sort of Me Too option that's called ACNA2. And they've tried to, they've said that they are advocating for abuse victims, that they're on the side of the marginalized and oppressed. But then when the rubber meets the road, it's actually that they're upset with different bishops in our House of Bishops who put out the gay bishop or the gay Christian letter.
You can't identify as a gay Christian or a gay Anglican because it's a sub Christian category. Like
you can't qualify the word Christian with something sinful.
I mean, it's totally fine to say, hey, I struggle with the sinful desire toward homosexual behavior. That's fine. But to say I am a homosexual Christian takes it into that phrase, like you accept the queer theory, you accept the queer theory categorization of people as, you define yourself by your sexuality. And Christians can't do that. We don't do that. But this group has now shown itself to be, I mean, read that first paragraph. We talked about the Stand Firm podcast, but read the first paragraph of the statement they put out. And it is just, there's not a hint of Christianity in it. It's completely barren of any kind of orthodoxy. It redefining the human person as a.
Well, they use the term sexual minority.
What is a sexual minority? There is no such thing as sexual minority. You're making your sex person, desires essential to your humanity.
A person who struggles with sexual sin is and that's not a minority. That's probably a sexual majority.
So then. Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy. The whole thing is just you're right. By the way, they were talking earlier, before this all came out. Everyone knew that they were heterodox. We were just having to wait for them to.
But what's so funny is that they didn't, like, in the case of Christian Dumais, she did it. She didn't want to do it. She did it on Twitter when she was provoked by Jenny Burke. She obviously didn't really intend to do it that day. But then
I had said that she wasn't a Christian long before that because I saw some things she was saying on Twitter that were acting as though homosexuality was a totally normal way to be.
And the trans stuff.
Yeah, and the trans stuff. So, I mean, she. this goes to the point that we've made several times on our podcast and several times elsewhere. Is it there are people who have discernment and there are people who don't have discernment. And that's not, there's, I'm not saying all Christians have some level of discernment. Like, even if you're not an apologist, you should be able to listen to somebody talk and just have like a sixth spiritual sense that says, okay, that's off. Like, when someone starts talking about cisgender and your sexual minorities, you should just, even if you don't know why it's wrong, you should have this sixth sense that goes off and tells you it's wrong. But if discernment is not your forte, it would behoove you to listen to people who do discernment, because, and not just to get mad at them every time they discern things, which I'm not saying that anyone listening to us does that, but the tendency is if people who don't have discernment get mad when people with discernment discern. Right? With Rob, like the classic example is Rob Bell, like John Piper saying, oh, yeah, Rob Bell, farewell, Rob Bell. And everyone went crazy, but he was right. He saw.
But if you read Velvet Elvis, there's no way to say this person is orthodox. Right.
But people read that and thought that he was.
Fine. It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, regular Christians read that book and came away thinking, Rob Bell's an interesting. He just hangs up on us to think and ask questions. And no, he's helping you to hell. He's not helping you do anything but go to hell. And so don't listen to him. So I really think I do think it's a question of people with discernment versus people without discernment. And I'm not saying that everyone with discernment is always right. You can get it wrong. You can be too trigger happy.
Yeah, you don't need to be like crazy. Everybody's a heretic all the time. The problem is that right now, the problem with right now is that
everybody's a heretic.
Everyone's a heretic. Well, it has become so acceptable for this particular heresy. It has really crept in and taken a hold. So in society, and then within the church.
Yeah, because the VeggieTales guy, what's the Holy Post? He's having on KK DeMay, Kristen DeMay, and the title of the show is
"Why Am I Still a Christian?" You're like, but you're not, though. You're not a Christian.
Why are you still calling her a Christian? Are we a good?
Yeah. Why are you still calling her a Christian?
Yeah. So I don't know. I think that the ACNA2 thing. But see, now up until this point, everyone's been really afraid of them because they have been playing the grievance narrative that people play, and to the harm of the actual victims are trying to help. Because now they've really hurt the victims they're trying to help, because they tainted them with heresy and they're actually leading them away from Jesus. And this movement is a movement into the darkness. So there needs to be some kind of orthodox group that comes alongside people who have been abused and helps them. And this is not,
and doesn't politicize it.
Yeah, doesn't politicize it.
And
right.
The first thing that needs to not happen is that when someone has been I just totally lost my train of thought.
When someone has been abused?
When someone has been abused, I really have lost it, but I'm going to try to think of something else. It shouldn't be about the group. It shouldn't be about the standing and the opinions and the thoughts of the group of people that are supposedly helping those who are abused. Okay, that's what it was. In order to help, it seems like part of the helping task means that you have to slander or malign everyone else by insisting that they don't really care. Like, it was their position that only they have cared about right. people who suffer from abuse.
And only they have the right recipe. For helping that.
And that's not true. I mean, it's just not true that everybody in the ACNA who hasn't joined ACNA2 wants people who have been abused and mistreated and left bleeding by the side of the road, metaphorically and spiritually, to just, you know, have nothing for them. That is so right. false. And within local, first of all, it also makes you have some kind of omniscience. Like, as if you know in every church across every diocese how these things are playing out, and only you can provide the remedy. That's right. What I really objected to in the statement was the idea that ACNA 2 is the safe space.
Yeah, yeah.
And local congregations are not safe.
Right, right.
And you need to get away from them and rush into the arms of ACNA 2.
Yeah, that's
who
right.
Who have now come out as heretical.
Leading you to hell. They're taking abuse survivors, like, and putting them in an even more vulnerable position.
That's the opposite of becoming safe, right. Incidentally.
Well, I mean, the only good thing about this is that now I think our bishops are warned. I mean, you're not going to listen to anyone giving advice about how to deal with abuse survivors who doesn't know Jesus and doesn't have to share the same their Christian faith that we have. So why would they?
Yeah.
Why would you listen to them? But the thing about this is, you know, you go to these guys, the people who are part of the real pushers of the grievance narrative. You go to their Twitter page. Mainly, what you find are, you know, angles on getting Bishop Ruck. I mean, that's what the whole thing has been about. It's been about finding a way to implicate him in what Mark Rivera did. And you know, Mark Rivera is a guy who actually did the abusing, and he's, thank God, in jail. Probably not long enough. I think he should, in the Old Testament world, he should be strung up or stoned and put to death. So just putting him in jail for a while is not a good thing. But hey, that's what we have. So, I've read some of the accounts of what was going on, and I don't think the allegations of negligence hold up to the extent that you need to ask Bishop Ruck to step down. I don't think that, but we'll see. I mean, he's going to have his trial, which is good, because all the evidence is going to come out, and we'll get to see what happens. And if he was negligent, fine. In a serious way, fine. But that needs to be tried in a court, an ecclesial court, not
on Twitter,
not by ACNA 2.
By ACNA 2.
Right. That was behind the. Remember, this was earlier in the summer. Remember, it was before in the spring. Like, if you've been accused of abuse, you must give up attorney-client privilege.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
What? That's just, I mean, it's a show trial, kangaroo court kind of thing. It's absurd. Why would you do that? We have laws protecting the accused in our country for a reason. And one of the reasons is it because mobs, like we have right now, like I think ACA2 is basically a mob, we'll try and destroy them without those protections. No, anyway.
Yeah.
That's all I think about this.
It's just, also, we keep saying, like, that's what's discouraging, is we keep saying the same set of things. Like, how many times can you say on the internet, I guess it's an infinite number of times, people who are affirming of sexual immorality as if it's holy and good are not Christian. Yeah. Like, they've set themselves outside of the visible church. They can go to heaven maybe, but we don't know. We're just saying they're not Christian in a visible sense right now. Like, how many times do you have to say that? And then every week there's some kind of Christian body or Christian person, quote.
Oh, we're kind of Christian.
It's fine.
Okay, we just disagree. We can disagree to disagree or whatever. We can agree to disagree.
I've been listening to, can't remember the name of the podcast, but somebody doing a news roundup. And the Acts 29, the thing that they not only did they say, oh, we want to live closely with people who struggle with sexual sin, live among them, which means weeping when they weep and being happy when they're happy. In other words, letting people who suffer from sexual immorality as a way of life govern our emotional life.
And Jesus says, or Paul says, Jesus says through Paul very clearly, love does not rejoice in
wrongdoing.
Right. So, but if so, if we're happy when they're happy, we'll be rejoicing in wrongdoing. So we can't do that. We literally can't do that.
Yeah. Right. But then this person pointed out, they didn't just say LGBTQ. They said LGBTQIA plus. Yeah, like, so you're talking, the plus is for people who want to, I think it's people who want to be with young children.
Yeah.
And
or identify as like wolves and cats.
Yeah.
And
IA is.
Or whatever.
I can't remember what IA is, but all of those are
asexual, say.
Maybe. But it's absurd. The acronym is absurd.
Yeah. Wait, just
talk out loud. Asexual and intersexual. We have children who they don't personally know the acronym. They're not very online like we are. But the plus is a wicked, like, the whole thing is bad. But you shouldn't stand, like, I've noticed people at podiums, like politicians, talking about how important it is to be affirming of everybody. And they'll have children in the group of people. And then they'll say, IA plus. Like, you are just advertising that you believe in the grooming and wrecking of innocent children. So why would a Christian organization like Acts 29 use the whole acronym? Like, do they just not know? Are they stupid?
I mean, if I were being suspicious and cynical, I would say they're trying to normalize that way of thinking about the human person, because it makes it easier, right? Because if your whole reason for being is planting churches, which is fine, planting churches is good, of course, but I think one of the things, the church planting movement as a whole, even within the ACNA, has caused some of the most, has put forward some of the less discerning people in the whole church as leaders, right? So, in the ACNA, the church planting movement promoted people like Matt Tebb and Josh Tiras, people Sean. Coming in from Wheaton and Duke, who are ex-evangelical basically, but who think they can, who think liturgy's cool, and so they come in with their very 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 progressive theology. They're very woke, but. Hey, the idea and the church planning people is, hey, these people can attract college students. These people can attract young people. And they can.
To a point. But they're not being attracted.
Christian young people.
Yeah. They're not being attracted to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't know. And the thing that's so foolish about it is that at the same time, the social capital of becoming a Christian is utterly evaporated like a vapor into the air. Like, no college student is going to get points for self-identifying as a Christian in very many social situations. So at the moment when you don't get anything except Jesus for being a Christian, you get literally nothing except Jesus. That's when they are particularly keen to jettison the Jesus part of the equation. And it's astonishing. Like, and how do people not know what time it is? Like, this is essentially like Trump, after getting a lot of gains for being sort of pseudo pro-life, suddenly deciding to throw it all away.
Oh, he's a guy. I'm going to drain the swamp. I'm going to drain the swamp, and here I'm.
Well, that's what Acts 29 is basically, like Trump throwing away his base.
Right.
Like, I don't know. You guys don't look as smart as you think you look. I think you look really foolish.
Yeah, and the video with the guy just sitting there with his man bun and talking about. How we want to live among these. It looked simpering, like you.
But it also looked so cynical to me. I mean, I shouldn't judge what people look like on videos, but it looked cynical. Like, I don't even care. I'm not even going to really try because I am tired. And I know I just have to say all this stuff and I don't even care. I don't believe in anything. It's like the sort of exhausting tiredness of Episcopalians 20 years ago. I remember with the whole Gene Robinson thing, it just seemed so tired to me.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Everyone was, you know, it doesn't matter. We can just say whatever we want.
There was no, like, it wasn't like an engagement with the theology of the scriptures or history. It was just, we're going to do this.
Yeah.
And so this is what we want to do. And we're not going to really bother with.
Yeah.
Working the logic
I could
out,
have
right?
bothered, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to hand out these buttons that I made with Gene Robinson's face on them.
Have you met Gene? Because, you know, when you meet him,
it's going to be amazing.
And you'll know he's, you know, that's the spirit. I remember the argument, right? The quote unquote argument. Peter and the six Jews with him in Acts chapter 10 saw Cornelius bear fruit. Like they saw the spirit when Cornelius and them spoke in other languages. So that was a sign that God was making a change and accepting the Gentiles as his own. So now we see in Gene Robinson the same kind of fruit. Like, look, he's a nice guy. I said, no, that's not the fruit. No. If you're sleeping with another man and you're a man, that's bad fruit. It doesn't matter how nice you are in other areas of your life, right? If you're committing adultery on your husband or your wife, but you're also very nice and you're giving to charity, it doesn't matter. Those things are not fruit. Those are like, that's like camouflage. That's not fruit. You're just trying to hide who you are under the giving of good things. But even, you know, when you met Gene, I met Gene, and he wasn't that nice. he is actually kind of a jerk. Who couldn't do what? I mean, he's very well spoken, but he could not reason biblically his way out of a paper bag, like the rest of them. So,
the thing that I liked, this doesn't actually change the topic, but I really loved yesterday in we're going through Acts that in our sermon series that Peter. And the Judaizers at that point, they're like proto or embryo Judaizers, right? They become something more hardened later on.
Right.
But I love that they confront Peter and Peter doesn't tone police them.
Right.
And he does have to defend himself.
Yeah, he's accountable to them.
He's accountable and he doesn't say you're not being very nice to me right now. Like, you're not speaking the truth in love. Why don't you be more, your tone is really bad. Why don't you talk in a nicer way about this important issue?
Yeah.
Like, they have a showdown kind of, but they both,
yeah,
like they change their minds and right. Peter gives a reasonable explanation. And he doesn't take offense
right.
when they confront him.
I mean, everyone kind of behaved well. So that because you have when Peter was at Cornelius's house staying, you know, that's when people started talking, right? The rumors started flying. And, you know, everybody back in Jerusalem should have said, hey, let's wait and see what Peter says when he gets back before we jump to conclusions. They didn't do that. They just jumped to conclusions. This is a good negative example for people in churches. Don't jump to conclusions when you hear something or think something. Ask the person themselves. But, you know, these guys didn't do that. The Greek for when Peter finally gets to Jerusalem after he's been staying with Cornelius, the Greek is very harsh with regard to the criticism. They sound like they're angry. They're offended. But like we said, they go to Peter. They say, hey, Peter. Why did you stay with Gentiles? Why did you eat with Gentiles? They didn't ask him a question. They just said, you ate with Gentiles. It was kind of an accusation. But at least they went to him, right? It was good. And it seems like it was public. I mean, there's it seems like a church gathering in which this happened. It wasn't like
They didn't go to him privately.
They didn't go to him privately. They didn't like one-on-one. They just asked him. And he let himself, he didn't get mad at them for that at all. He answered the right way. It was good.
So I drew from that, really, those who want to bring new teaching into the church, like either the LGBTQIA+ acronym or please repent of your whiteness. Like those two things are the big, big things of the day. If you want to bring those into the church, which I don't recommend you do, but if you want to, you're not allowed to, you know, create a hedge of protection around yourself with tone policing, like, don't question me, or you're not speaking to me in love, or how dare you're literally abusing me by questioning me. Like, you're hurting me,
This one guy on Twitter who claims he knows us from back in Virginia, but he who doesn't like us anymore, said that he posted about Matt Kennedy and Stan Firm's despicable attempts to get rid of ACNA2 because we, you know, showed that they're heretics. So it's just, it's despicable. And how dare you let people know what ACNA2 is doing? Be quiet.
Let them do it more. Let them do it quietly.
Right.
And when they do it, don't get mad at them.
Right. Because they're helping people. No, they're not.
No, they're not. And like the tone policing thing is the way that when you tone police someone, you make them afraid. Like that's the whole point of it. Yep. You are mean to someone and accusing them of being mean, and they don't want to be mean. So nobody funny. Wants to be mean, just like nobody wants children and women to be abused. Like, you don't need to come out and make the courageous and brave and stunning statement.
We are against
that. That you're against the abuse of children.
Yeah.
Except that, I mean, if you use the LGBTQIA+ acronym, you are for the abuse of people.
Yeah.
People who reject that acronym shouldn't have to be tone policed on the one hand and, you know, justify themselves because they refuse to use an acronym that engenders abuse against the weak and the poor. Anyway, it's so wretched and bad. And it literally clown world.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think we've maybe come to the place. Who was saying this? Someone was saying, it was Aaron McIntyre about the Gaia staff meeting at Apple, right? That where it looks like we're not going to have the woke Reich yet because they're busy to cry the clowning themselves.
They jumped. I said they jumped the shark, but what did he said something else.
I forget what it was, but
they've offended the gods of the universe more quickly than that. Wasn't it either? It's a really funny tweet. Yeah, we're not going to have the woke Reich as long as 70 years of the woke Reich because they couldn't even wait long enough to
crown themselves.
Crown themselves. I loved that ad so much. I loved it on so many levels. I loved how mean and terrible Mother Nature was, and that everybody was fine with that.
It was like she's really cool. Everyone wants to be around her, but she's horrible.
She's horrible. And
why would you want to serve a deity like that?
But that's how all, you know, pagan gods are really mean when you come down to it. Like they're going to require the sacrifice of your children ultimately, which is technically unkind. It's technically mean and unloving. If you have to
sacrifice your children, then the religious, whatever spiritual but not religious system you're working in
is literally mean.
Right.
And then I also
kill 10% of the people on the earth so we don't get carbon neutrality.
Yeah, carbon neutrality. I loved, you pointed out that it's also Grace, though, because she's mean, but you can also kill her if you get tired. Like, you can just make more things.
You know what?
Let's have more carbon.
Let's start the factories back up.
Because we should. We're really tired of her. She's
let's get rid of her.
I also loved that it, sort of, you know, you had Mother Nature is a black woman, and the only person who could really placate her was another black woman, like the replacement Steve Jobs guy had to be shaking and quaking in his beauty. As a white man, he was definitely in a bad position. He needed to not be there at that table. It took another black woman to placate the black woman.
So it was, that's the way it is. And I don't know. I thought that was just so, it didn't even make her look cool, which is weird about it. Cause you know, usually Apple has like better marketing sense. Like,
well, they definitely have picked their audience, and they don't care about all the people who are worried, more worried about child slavery than carbon neutrality.
Right.
So
that was always behind, I think, with that movie that came out, about sex trafficking, and everyone's like, that's not happening. The problem is that movie. I mean, who cares if they are wrong about a few details? The reality is there are like millions of, or hundreds of thousands of children being trafficked, and I'm sure that some people in the World Health Organization are part of the trafficking, and people connected with the UN and the net neutrality movement are probably keen on the whole thing. And so, yeah, it has to be, that movie has to be shut down so we can continue the child trafficking and get to net carbon neutral, so we can kill all the poor people. And there'll just be a bunch of elite liberals living, inhabiting the earth, driving their, well, no, they're not going to be driving their,
no,
their
they
Teslas
won't.
Anymore because they can't drive Teslas.
They're not going to have anyone to clean their, I guess they have to have some people to clean their houses and cook their dinners.
What was it? They're like, there's the future is like, you get to live in your one room efficiency apartment with excellent internet so that you can entertain yourself to death while you eat your meat made from soy and have your one child, maybe.
Not probably not though.
For at least the first part of its life, and then it goes to the state to be taught how to think, or not to think. That's the reality that the WHO has for
us. Well, that's what Apple was like, yes, yeah, we're going to do it that way.
That's what we're going to do.
Well, I feel like we've exhausted this topic too.
Yeah,
and we're going to go over to demotivations for a few minutes, but we are also cooking while we're doing this, as we already said. So
what should we talk about?
We have a lot of important things to do.
Do we have a blurb for demotivations, or we're just going to make it up as we
go? No, I think we're going to make it up as we go along. Right. That's going to be how we do it. So thank you so much for listening, and maybe we'll be back next week.